Father, we come before you and we, Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, that we have a place to come together that you have provided for us, Lord. It's a nice place, Lord. And you give us, provide us with the time to be able to come, the freedom, the liberty to gather together, Lord, and to worship you, Lord, and to come to hear the truth of this revealed hour. Lord God, we ask, Father, tonight that you will come and break open the bread of life to us, Lord, that it might feed our souls, Lord, and strengthen us, and Lord, that we may grow in faith and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'd like to read verses 6 through 10. What I'd like to minister on is, he cares, do you care? He cares, do you care? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You may be seated. He cares, do you care? I'd like to, the Lord help me to give a few examples out of Brother Branham's life and ministry, and then showing how God cares, and then perhaps give some personal things. And while I'm doing that, I ask you to be able to think of the times in your life that you could point at and say, yeah, I know he was taking care of me there. There was a little girl, Brother Branham was in Europe, and there was a little girl that came to him. He was walking to come into the meetings, and there was soldiers helping him to get in there, and it was in Finland, and this little girl was crippled. She had one leg shorter than the other, and Brother Branham later found out she was a war orphan. Her mother and father had been killed in the war, and so as Brother Branham was walking in, the little girl began to make her way over toward him. And when she got up to him, he stopped and she stopped. And she looked at him and she took a hold of his coattail, his jacket, and she pulled it up and kissed where his pocket was. And then she said to him, "Kitos," I think's how you say it, which meant thank you. And she was thanking him for allowing her to just come up to him that way. And he saw a vision of the little girl walking without the braces and crutches. She had on braces on her legs, and the brace that was on the leg that was one shorter than the other and had a build-up platform shoe. And he said there was a strap coming up from the brace that went up and across her shoulder, and all of that contraption and the crutches she had and everything caused her to really have to struggle to try to walk or maneuver herself. And Brother Branham saw the vision, and he said to her, "You can't understand me, honey, but Jesus Christ has already healed you." And then he went on into the meeting, and he preached, and then they called the prayer line, and they went through several prayer cards in the line, and then Brother Branham's brother, Howard, came over and was trying to usher him off the stage, and Brother Branham said, just a few more cards. I feel to stay just a few more cards. And the very next card they called up was that little girl. And she came up across the platform, making her way across in those with her crutches, you know, and the way she had to kind of throw her body to do it. And she made her way over to him, and there was, he had an interpreter there. It was a woman that was doing the interpreting for him. Her name was Mrs. Isaacson. And he told her, said, tell her exactly what I tell you. And he said, Jesus healed you, honey. Your respect for his son out there and for his servant and for the angel of the Lord, your deep reverence and respect healed you, honey. You're well. Now you have some of them go over there and take them braces off you. When you're taking that off, hold your hand on your hip disc, and as you pull the braces off, let your little hand slide down about the distance your leg is short and come back and show me. And so they took her on off to the side to do this. And while they were doing that, Brother Branham prayed for somebody else. And then all of a sudden, he heard this commotion, and here she come running across the platform, holding the crutches and the braces above her head. And her legs were both equally, the leg just grew. And I thought how much God cared for this little war orphan. Brother Branham said, I felt like my heart just got too big for me seeing her. But God showing just how he cared for this little individual, that she meant something to him. I recall one time of a testimony that was given, I think it was by Brother Billy Paul, was Brother Branham had prayed for this little girl. She didn't have any eyes in her sockets. And Brother Branham prayed for her that God would give her eyes. And then they were taking her off the platform, and Brother Branham was getting ready to go on to the next individual, and he stopped and he turned and he said, wait, honey, he said, I forgot to ask you, what color eyes do you want? God cared enough to stop and say, wait a minute, what color eyes did you want? Show how much God cared. Brother Branham was in another meeting, and there was a woman that was there. She wasn't a Christian, and she had a little baby. And while Brother Branham was preaching, the baby began to cry and act up, you know, and she didn't want to be a disturbance, so she stepped outside. There was no other place to take her, so she stepped outside the building and was standing by a door. And when the meeting was over, Brother Branham went to go out the door, and that was the very door he was going out. And she was standing there. And he said hello to her, and she said hello. She said, I sure would have liked to have heard the rest of that message. And Brother Branham said, something just spoke to him, said, this is not providential. This is meant to be. She was meant to be here. Brother Branham asked her, said, are you a Christian? She said, no, but I hope to be someday. Brother Branham said, well, he's here right now. You can give your life to him right now, right here. And she said, yes, so they prayed. And Brother Branham said he prayed that God would take her soul and that God would save her soul. And so then when he finished praying, she said, amen. And Brother Branham said, God cared so much that he had her standing right there exactly in the place where she could receive this. So here's somebody wasn't a Christian. They weren't somebody of prestige in a church. They held no position or nothing. They were just a person who had never gave their life to the Lord. God God thought enough of her. He cared. Friends, God cares for us. He watches over us. Throughout my life, there's countless of times that I can point you out how God watched over my life and kept me. And he watched over my life when I wasn't even living right, when I wasn't serving him. And if I would have lost my life, why, I would have been lost in sin. But God kept me through all that. God kept me through car accidents that should have took my life. God kept me through when I went to war. Friends, I was walking and ground guiding a truck, and another fellow driving one of the trucks hollered at me to stop, and I stopped. My foot was right over a trip line for a landmine. It was right over this landmine and had me stop. God saved me. God cared enough. He's watched out over you. He sent his son to give his life. When Jesus was here on earth, he cared so much for the sick people that he gave so much of his time, and times went out of his way to heal people. Remember the man that was at the pool of Bethesda, and the angel would come down and trouble the water, and whoever made it into the water first, why, they were healed. I can't explain that. That's just what it says in the Bible. But Jesus went down there, and there was a man down there that was sick, and he said by the time he would get up, somebody would always get there ahead of him. And Jesus healed the man. You know, we hear Brother Branham describe Peter as an unlearned man. The Bible describes him as that. He was unlearned. And he was not an educated man. He was just a fisherman. He wasn't anybody that held any position in anything within the city or anything. There was nothing special about him. But Jesus cared for him. Jesus went by and called to him to come follow him. I'd like to read from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and then on down through Hebrews chapter 2. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. God cared. He cares about you. The question is, do you care about you? Do you care enough about yourself? Brother Ram said, I've heard people make this insane remark, I don't care what becomes of me. He said, I sure care what becomes of me. I sure do. I care. I believe any person in their right mind cares. I want to know what's going to happen to me. And if I know he loved me, there's no one else could love like that. He cares for you. You want to know where you're going? You want to know what's going to happen to you? What happens to you after this life? Do you care enough? I've had people I've talked to tell me, oh, I know I'm going to hell. And they say it with such a brave face. You know, I'm going to live what I want to live. I know where I'm going. But I'll tell you this, they won't be so brave when it comes time to die. When it comes time to die, they're going to be screaming. Brother Branham says they can turn away God enough to where their soul actually departs. And he says, but when it comes time to die, their soul comes back to them and haunts them. And it haunts them what they turned down. Which reminds me of Brother Branham talking about in the time of judgment. As it says in the book of Revelations, the voice of many waters. And Brother Branham said that was the voice of the ministers screaming out in the services where you sat. People sat and wouldn't listen. And they're going to hear that voice over again. They're going to hear that voice over again. They're going to hear that from that meeting they sat in and rejected and walked away. Bram says, no matter how little you are, how insignificant you are, how poor, how many times you've tried and failed, he still cares. No matter how many times he said you've tried and failed, God still cares. His love still knocks at your door. But are we ungrateful for that? Aaron goes on to say, the world's at an end. It's coming to an end. We know that. We know there isn't much time left. He says, because everything that is every mortal thing must die, that immortality can take its place. And with that said, nothing else can care more about you than Jesus. Brother Ram says, don't you care enough to submit your life to him? To love him? To go to the streets, to go to your boss, to go to your neighbor, to go everywhere. Separate yourselves from the things of the world and live such a peaceful, sweet life that others will see Jesus in you. Don't you feel that you owe him that to him? Let's not be ungrateful. You know, I think of the lepers that Jesus healed. And of the 10, I believe it was, only one returned to thank him. The others took it, but they weren't grateful. It hurts when you help people and they're not grateful. They don't see what you've done for them. I'm not talking about you getting credit or whatever, but I know that when you raise your children, a lot of it they won't understand till they get a little older and they have children and their children are growing up and then they go through it and then they'll look back and say, now I see why mom and dad did that. Now I see why mom and dad said this or that. Because why? Then they're facing it. I remember one time, I turned 40, and I remembered when I got married, my dad was 40, and And I turned to Mina when I got 40 and I says, we've become our parents. You know, we're in the place they were 20 years before. Now we're in that spot. Now what are we going to do with it? At one time you were perhaps the little child in the home with mom and dad. And mom and dad had to take care of you. But I've got young families here tonight that have young children, and now you're moms and dads. Now you've got children to care for. Do you care enough about them to keep them in the right atmosphere? Do you care enough about them to teach them the ways of the Lord, to keep them in church, to keep them before the Lord? I've said this before. When the rapture takes place, there are going to be some children that are not adults, they're children. And they're going to go in the rapture. But is mom and dad going to go? You need to care about yourself. I don't know how many times I've went over this message. Brother Branham preached it a few different times. He preached, he careth for you, and then he preached, he cares, do you care? And I don't know how many times I went over and I didn't catch. He's saying, do you care about yourself? God cares about you, but do you care about you? He said he sent the Holy Ghost in this day of intellectual conception, that he might by the same Holy Spirit prove through us he's still the Messiah. Prove it in the same way. He's same yesterday, today, and forever. Now the question is, do you care? What do you think about it? It's been proven over and over. Do you care enough to believe it? Do you care enough to confess your sins that you're wrong? Confess your unbelief and accept it. Look, friends, you say, well, there's so many doubts coming to me. Confess those doubts to him. You want those doubts to lose power over you? Then confess those. Get yourself before the Lord and talk to him and confess those to him and accept and believe. It's like the man in the Bible that come and Jesus said, if thou canst believe it, he said, I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief. In other words, he was saying, I know I've got some areas of doubt, but God, take those from me. He cares enough about you, friends. He said that the good work that he started, he would finish. He cares that much about you. He's not going to call to you and move on your heart. He's not going to have the angels move on you in the service and you come forward and be prayed for and then him turn his back and say, I don't care. No, he cares. He cared enough to bring you here. He cared enough to call you. He cared enough to knock on the door of your heart. Then he cares enough to save you. He cares enough to keep you. All you've got to do is submit yourself to him. He cared enough to die and rise again to bring it to you. Do you care enough to accept it? See, he cared. He died that you might care. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That's what Peter said. Cast your care upon him. Your doubts, your unbelief, your lack of faith, cast it upon him. The tests, the trials you go through. There are times when, friends, when anybody makes a stand, Satan is going to come and test that to see if you'll continue to stand. He's going to test it. Did you really mean it? The There's only one way to test. He's got to test it, and that's try to test you with whatever you've been delivered from. Thing is to recognize it's just him and cast your care on Jesus. Put all of it on him. The burden gets too heavy for us to carry. I like that story everybody's familiar with about the footprints in the sands of time. How there was a space when it went from being two sets of footprints to one set. And it said, Lord, why did you leave me? He said, I didn't leave you. That one set was my footprints. I was carrying you. He'll carry you. He'll help you through. You know, I was a salesman for several years, managing a sales floor. And you know, where you really got your reputation was your how you cared for the customer after the sale had done been made. I'd seen salesmen that they acted like they cared as long as they could get you to buy something. And once you bought it and was out the door, they could care less. You come back in there, they're not going to give you good customer service. You're in the way of them making another sale. But the person that would get a good reputation would have good customer service. They'd take care of them after the sale. Listen to me. Jesus didn't save you to turn around and ignore you. He cares. He's got good customer service. You know, friends, look. Do you realize the preaching is only a portion of what a pastor does? I'm not saying this to lift myself up. I'm saying to show you something about the Lord Jesus. He cares enough to place a pastor over people, with people, to be a shepherd and care for those people. To pray for those people in an instant, whenever they need it. I get a text sent to me, such and such is happening, I need prayer. I go to prayer, I pray right where I'm at. And I'm not just saying words, I'm believing what I'm saying. I'm believing God's going to move. I'm trusting that individual that texts me is believing with me. Or they wouldn't have texted me or called me. Do you care enough to be sincere with God? He cared enough to conquer every enemy for you. Death doesn't mean nothing to us. It's already been conquered for us. It's like that song says, death is just a doorway that leads to the other shore. Brother Branham says it this way. He says, death is just a vehicle. It's just a vehicle that takes you into the presence of God. Death is nothing to fear. Hallelujah. Reminds me of the story Brother Adam tells about the woman that was on a ship. And she was traveling from Europe over to New York, New York City. And they didn't know if they were going to make it or not. The ship, the storm had come up and they didn't know if the ship was going to make it. So they finally made an announcement to the people. And she went to praising God. And someone asked her, said, how can you be like that in such a situation? She says, I've got a daughter in glory, and I've got one in New York City. In the next few minutes, I'm going to see one of them. God cares. Brother Branham says, I just have to care enough to believe it. Are you afraid to stand? Are you afraid of what the doctor said? Are you afraid of what the church will say? Are you afraid to stand toe to toe with the devil and say, I've confessed my sins. I've laid aside everything. I believe every word. We've got to stand toe to toe with the devil. God can deliver us and set us free, but we're still in a battle. We're in a war, friends. I've preached that before, told you to quote, Brother Murray says, we're not on a picnic. We're in a battle. And it's a battle every day. The biggest battle we have, I believe, is with our own self, our own flesh. You say, I care enough about myself. If God once cared for you, then it means he always had to care for you. Because he's eternal. And if you're a part of him, then you're eternal. So you didn't, you had a beginning in this life. But the real you, the you that's going to be there when this life is over, never had a beginning. It was in the thoughts of the eternal God. So God cared for you always, even before you came into this life. And he knew everything that would go on in your life. He knew everything that you would do. He knew all the mistakes you would make. He knew the times you would fail as well as the times you would succeed. And through all that, he still cared for you. Look, friends, in the natural, parents have children. There's nothing those children did when they were born into this life. There was nothing they did to make you care. But when that new one's born, there is something that just comes out of you. You know, I remember the first time when I first became a dad. And there was just something that swelled up in me, and something just so protective and love. And I felt like I gave all my love, all at one time. And I even said, I don't know if I have another one, if I got any more love left. But I did. I had a lot more left. But you love them, no matter what they do. They're yours. That's how God is. We belong to him. He loves us because we're his. Look, don't listen to that devil that tries to come and say, well, now how do you know that you are one of his? Maybe everybody else is, but maybe not you. Go back to what I said at the beginning. He cared enough about you to knock on your heart's door. He cared enough about you to beckon to you. He cared enough about you to send angels to you. He cared enough about you to put you in misery until you came to him. He cared enough. That means you belong to him because he cares for you. So don't listen to that old devil. He don't even care for his own children. It's totally impossible for God not to keep his word to you if you've kept your word to God. God has to keep his word. Heavens and earth will pass away. My words will not. It'll stand. He's already done it, Brother Branham said. We sing that song, "It's Already Done." It's already done. Hallelujah. The victory's been won. We fight battles that we are destined to win in the end. I like the saying, it says, "I may lose a battle now and then, but the war has already been won." Hallelujah. He cared enough to do it, Brother Branham said. Do you care enough to lay aside every doubt? He cared so much until he knowed he must leave in order to bring this great thing to us. And he said, "I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll send the Holy Spirit, and he shall continue my care for you until I return." There's no one cares like Jesus. Knowing that his body is a high priest in a mediatorial work, what he's doing now, that the body must be in the presence of God at all times for intercession, that God cannot see the sinner's sin. He sees only the blood of his own son. Knowing that, he sent back the Holy Spirit to continue to comfort his people. Does he care? Certainly he cares. He was to continue to care for his people here on earth, in the same manner he cared for them when he was here. Because he said in St. John 15, he said, "When the Holy Spirit has come, who the Father would send in his name, he would testify of him." In other words, he'll do the same thing he did. It's the Holy Spirit working through a tabernacle that he sanctified to do the same thing that he did. And then we know that right among us today, we have the same comforting Lord Jesus in the form of the Holy Ghost, another office that God himself is working in. Like he said, the Holy Spirit working through a tabernacle he sanctified. He's talking about man. I don't know if you knew this or not, but God, for a pastor, he lays a burden on him for the people. He has a burden for the people. He feels for the people. And I've had times when an individual, I suppose they rejected the Lord. And I have actually witnessed when God would lift the burden of them from me. Sad. Anytime I've ever had that happen, I always feel a sadness because I can't get it back. Once he lifts it, if you can understand this, once he lifts that burden from somebody, I can't get it back. That means they're in God's hands. He's done dealing with them through my office. Separate yourself from the things of the world. You care enough about yourself. Brother Branham talked about this. You know, you're familiar with this story. Young girl whose mother went into a burning building to save her. She got all scarred up. This girl went off to college. Her mother worked over washboard and washing clothes and things until she could send her to college. And she went off to college and got with this other flippity girl. And they were coming home on the train. And this other girl saw the woman standing out there and says, "Oh, what an ugly woman. Don't you think so?" And she looked out there, the daughter looked at, she saw her mother. But she said, "Yes, she is ugly." And then she got off the train and was walking in. She was with this other girl, and her mother come running up to her. She said, I don't know you. Leave me alone." Brother Ram said there was someone heard was standing there and said, "Wait a minute, I know the whole story." Said at one time, he said, she was prettier than her daughter is. But she cared enough that she went into that fire so you can be pretty. She gave her life, was given, willing to give her life for you because she cared. She was ashamed of how her mother looked. The thing is, are we ashamed of the Lord? Are we ashamed of what he has done for us in our life? But Brother Branham says the thing was, she got to hanging with the wrong person. She got to in with this other girl. And Brother Branham said there's where she went wrong, because she was fellowshipping with this other girl that was not a Christian. And Brother Branham says, don't mar your garments with sin. Don't be partakers of other man's sins. If you want to speak a word of encouragement to people, that's all right. But you don't have to wallow with the pig. You got to watch who you're fellowshipping with. In other words, who you're spending your time with. Because as I said when I preached here a couple of Sundays ago, people are either influenced from above or they're influenced from below. They're either influenced from heaven or they're influenced from hell. They're either influenced of God or influenced of the devil. There's no middle ground. And if you are keeping company with somebody who's being influenced by the devil, then friends, you need to part ways. Oh, I know it gets so sticky when you say something like that. Because people say, "Oh, well, you're supposed to have love. You're supposed to love everyone." Brother Bram said, you don't have to wallow with the pig. I don't mean you don't have love. You can, just because you care about somebody doesn't mean you have to become partakers of their sin. They go their way. Well, you got to watch what you're fellowshipping with, because, you know, have you ever seen them take a good apple and put it in a bin of rotten apples, and that good apple turn all those rotten apples good? No. But you have heard the old adage that one rotten apple in the bunch will spoil the whole bunch. Stay away from them rotten apples. You can pray for them. Hold them up in prayer. That don't mean you can't speak to them. You speak to them. But just don't go hang out with them. they're going to hang out and drink somewhere, don't even go hang out with them at all. No, no, thank you. I can't. Don't wallow with a pig. But God cared. He cared enough to lay this message on my heart today. This morning, I was sitting eating this morning, and I was thinking of the pressure that I had on me, that I always have on me when I don't know what I'm going to preach. And I know I got people that need help. And I want to be able to yield myself to find what that is that's going to help them. I don't want to be just up here filling time and space. God doesn't want me up here just filling up time. But I'm up here to bring something that'll be a help to you. And God wanted me to come to you tonight and let you know He cares. If He cared enough to do what He did for that little Finn girl, He cared enough to do what He did for the little girl that didn't have any eyes, that He cared enough to say, wait a minute, what color was it that you wanted? He cared enough for somebody who was unsaved to have them at the right spot outside the door where Brother Branham would pass by. They didn't get to hear all the message, what was being preached. But they still got the benefits. Because she got saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God cares for us. The question is do we care? Do we care enough about ourselves to yield ourselves to the Lord, to live our life for Him, to let Him take control, be Lord of all? Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow our heads before You here tonight. Thankful, Lord, that You passed by our way. You took the time to visit us here tonight, Lord. Lord, while You were, it's just beyond human thinking to fathom how You can be everywhere at once. But You are. But Lord, You came and visited us tonight. Spoke to us, God, to let us know You care. God, I'll tell you, studying this has really touched my heart. I couldn't hardly speak tonight without crying. Lord, thank You for caring for me. Thank You, Lord. God, for keeping my life where I could commit it to You. Saving me from a death where I'd be lost. Lord, thank You for caring for these people, Lord, here. You cared enough, Lord, a couple of weeks ago You visited us. And You've set some people free, showing You cared, Lord. Hallelujah. You even went to people who wasn't even present that day. That shows You cared. You cared enough to hear the prayers of the people that came up praying, asking prayer for others. And You cared enough, Lord, to answer their prayer. You cared enough for. Thank You, Lord. Lord, I ask you continue, Lord, to help me, God, just to stay in tune with you, Lord, to bring messages that will be help to the people. Bless your people tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.